Hey, welcome to The Screenwriting Life. I'm Meg LaFauve.
And I'm Lorianne McKenna.
We are professional screenwriters. We've worked together as a team and separately. We've worked on studio and indie films, live action and animation, from my work on Inside Out and Captain Marvel
to my work in Pixar's story department on Up, Brave, and Inside Out. We are here to share our insights on the craft of screenwriting and also the life, how to not only survive the ups and downs, but thrive. We want to help you become the best screenwriter you can be and to reassure you that you are not alone on this journey.
Good morning, Screenwriting Life family, and happy 4th of July. Hope you all are having a lovely holiday weekend, enjoying some fireworks. In the interest of the holiday, we are taking this week off, but Jess and I put our heads together and thought it might be fun to run a special based on those famous three questions that we ask every one of our guests. You know, one of our favorite things about this show and one of the things we're really proud of is that we really try to dive into the emotional experience of what it's like to be a writer at any stage in their career. So every episode we ask our guests what brings you the most joy about writing, what pisses you off about writing, and what scene would you like to be remembered by. That tradition started with John August, and we've asked every guest since. So we're going to run kind of a compilation collage of all of our guests answering those questions. And as always, it's such a gift to hear their insights. So we hope you enjoy today's episode. Happy 4th of July and keep writing.
I would love to know, John, just you've got such an impressive filmography. And when you think about your work as it stands now, is there like a particular film or even a particular scene that you would love to be remembered by that you feel is like kind of the hallmark of you as a writer? And I'd love to hear why you feel that way.
If it's a single scene or sequence, then it would probably be the deathbed scene in Big Fish, because that was, I think it works really well. It doesn't, you know, it's not exactly the picture I had in my head. Like literally the telephone is on the wrong side of the bed for my taste, but the match between sort of like how I wrote that scene, which was I would sit in front of a mirror and bring myself to tears and then write the scene. And it was just so incredibly method to sort of, that's how I got it. And it's and people's experience reading the scene was like crying, and people's experience watching the scene is crying. It's just, I was trying to make something that was like profoundly joyful and sad at the same time. And I'm just so happy it worked. And so that'd be, if there's just one scene, it would be that one.
I love all of your movies, but that is the correct answer. Just so you
know. That's amazing. I love that.
What makes you mad about being a screenwriter? What is the thing that, you know, makes you want to be mad? Punch, kick, scream? I mean, that's how I express anger. Yeah. That maybe not be how you express anger.
You know, I would say a frustration I definitely feel after 20 years in the business is that there's never has it been more clear that that creators are responsible for driving the success of the industry. And you especially see that in television, but really in film as well. You see sort of like what has been happening with our great achievements in movies, and they are so creator driven. And to not acknowledge that screenwriters are that first creator on these projects, and that we should be paying a lot more attention to sort of their instincts and their passions for driving these projects, instead of making fear-based decisions and deferring to directors or other folks who are just business people. So I think that's probably the thing that angers me most. It's not just that screenwriters aren't acknowledged, but they aren't sort of, you know, prized in that process.
That is also the correct answer.
Thank you. I just feel so good. I feel like, you know, I'm acing 100%.
Here's the last one. What brings you incredible joy about being a writer?
Having written something that you just kind of know works, because there is sometimes screenwriting is just like problem solving and puzzle, you know, like how did I get these pieces to work? It's like, oh my God, they work really well. And when they work on the page and you see the scenes like, oh, that works in the scene, and you see it in the final movie. That's just a joy when you see that experience, you know, paying off.
Guys, Andrew, writing is so easy. I mean, all this, just put all this into you know, practice, and like you're golden.
You're trying to capture the complexity of humanity, and you're trying to have a bunch of humans, each of which you're trying to like give the illusion it has complexity. It's just like math on math on math on math.
It's math on math, but I love the math. I love the story math. So yes. Andrew, we're going to ask you three questions at the end here that we're starting, you know, we're trying this out, seeing if our guests like these three questions, just to wrap it up, because we so appreciate your time. The first one is, if you could be remembered for one scene you wrote, what would it be?
Well, there's one scene I'm the most proud of writing wise. So I guess for this group, I have another scene I love, but it's when Woody is under the crate and Buzz is strapped to the rocket and Woody finally confesses without really saying it, that he was jealous all along and didn't see any, actually the truth is he doesn't see any value in himself and Buzz really is the one that's worthy to go. And finally being able to figure that out in a word, in a line that didn't feel like a writer, it felt like a truth that just could, was so loaded. So just to say, I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket. And that scene was really hard to write because I was learning at the same time. We lucked into the fact that we never said what the movie was about ever, but all the behaviors and actions, when I look back, were true to jealousy and insecurity of yourself. And, but suddenly we had to come very close to saying what it was for the first time, because it was the point of the scene. And just, it was like trying to pull water from a stone, but I'm so happy with the result of that scene as a writer. Like I've always there's the confidence in knowing like I can't do better than that. That's the best that scene can be, you know.
The great scene.
So
Lauren,
all of us see ourselves in that scene. That's why we're all Woody in that moment where we're like, it should, because it's like the thing we don't want to say, but we feel so deeply. Sorry to interrupt. I just love that scene too.
No, that's good. Go ahead, Lori.
So I want to know what pisses you off about being a writer.
Writing. when I'm directing, I wish I was writing, and when I'm writing, I wish I was directing. I've never known. I think I did once, but I might have dreamt it that I enjoyed writing once. I had a moment where I was on a high. I'm always on a high, showing you what I've done, hearing other people read what I've done. I'm always on a high for solving the problem. Never on a high trying to solve it.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. go ahead, Jeff, you asked the last question.
Sure, yeah, and the flip side, what gives you your greatest joy when writing? Or what gives you joy about writing?
Discovery, because to me it's an archaeological dig. Like I truly believe, and I know this is getting kind of spiritual, but like that there are great stories and or even just ideas and things out there, story for in this case, and you're an archaeologist and you've picked, and all you can really take credit for is the dirt, the area that you've chosen to dig and how often you've, and your efforts for digging. But what you discover was kind of always there. And then you're left to figure out, you know, what kind of dinosaur bones you've found and what it is and analyze that correctly. But the discovery is the drug. What's this going to become? I don't know how, if everybody's a parent, but when your child's born, they don't really have a personality until they're like about 6 months old or 6 weeks old. I mean, it's been a while now, but I know that they suddenly they're not just staring at you burping and sleeping and that kind of anticipation of like, who are you? Is how I feel most of the time when I'm writing on stuff that I want to be writing on, you know, is like, wow, who are you? You know, what are you? You know?
Oh, I love that. That is so inspiring.
What pisses you off about writing? If you could, listeners, if you could see Marty, she just collapsed backwards over her chair and almost out of frame.
That was the pensive sigh. That's no longer okay for TV anymore, but I loved it. You got so much subtext with that sigh. It was perfect.
I know that's the other thing about writing is you always want to say to you want to say to people who are reading your scripts, like, but they'll act that, like, you know, I don't really need to write it because the actor is going to act that. But trust me. And they'll be like, no, it should be in the script. And then you're just like, all right, I'll write the line. We'll take it out later, you know, because they don't believe me that a good actor will be able to act that. What is it that I love about writing?
What pisses you off about writing? Oh, yeah.
I see you avoiding the question.
I mean, right now, what pisses me off is that I have, I'm going to try not to cry, have an enormous amount of grief that I'm processing from the last year or so. And you know, as you all know, life keeps happening. So not fully having processed some of the grief, you know, we lost three people in my family. The first was a total accident, and a shocking surprise, you know, and my 19-year-old nephew had a ski accident and died on New Year's Eve 2019. And then
I'm so sorry, Marty.
Yeah, still working on that one. I can skip the other two, even though they were both really intense. But what's going on now is my son, who is almost 19, is leaving for college soon. And I am trying not to turn that into a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And letting him out of my sight is very painful. So the writing that used to be, you know, I just have to write my way through it. You know, I keep thinking of that Hamilton line. I wrote my way out. And this extraordinarily painful year for so many of us has had many gifts too, but it pisses me off that that I'm a human being and that I have to have feelings and that my best way of getting through it is fucking writing, because I'd much rather take a magical pill and not have to do the hard work of living. So in a nutshell,
fair enough.
If I could have your
fair enough, if
I could have your whole response on a t-shirt, like front, back, around the bottom, I'd wear it every day.
Yeah, fair enough. But we have a good question to follow up with that.
Mascara is running. I was on for the Zoom.
It's just so beautifully said, though. Thank you for sharing. And I guess the flip side would be that the question of what brings you the most joy in writing.
What? No, I'm kidding. it's so funny because I used to be that. I mean, and I will be again. I know, you know. That person who just annoyed the fuck out of everybody. Cause I was just like, writing is just my happy place. It's where I go to escape. And, you know, but the joy, I mean, when I fall into the world and when those people are talking to me and they're telling me what's going to happen next, like when I finally cracked for myself writing movies, it's when I fully signed on to the journey and the character started telling me what was going to happen. And I'd be like, I did not know that. it's such a beautiful experience, and it's play. It's just been really hard to get there, but it's the fucking best. You make these imaginary worlds and you know, and they tell you stories that heal you.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, I'm gonna cry.
Okay. Our last question, because that was beautiful. Beautiful. Our last question is, if you could be remembered for one scene you wrote, what would it be?
Oh, fudge. I don't know. I'm not going to curse.
What's the favorites? Yeah, you could curse away. What's your favorite scene that you've written?
Oh, God. I mean, there's so many, y'all. Just meaning, like, I've been so fortunate, you know, to have had so many, you know, to have written so many scenes, you know. The show Dietland, you know, was this like howl, you know, of anger and frustration and love and Joy Nash, you know, it's on Hulu, y'all, if you feel like, you know, really engaging in something weird.
Our audience loves that show, by the way. We had a ton of fans specifically want to make sure they asked about it. So I'm glad you're sharing about it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Because it is, you know, we pulled an amazing review, like a second look from Emily Nussbaum in the New Yorker, like the day we were canceled. It was just like, you know, and she got that it was messy in parts, but that... so, I mean, I kind of want to say, like, you know, just writing Joy Nash, there's a scene early on where, you know, she's writing on her computer. And there's this moment where she just sort of hits a crescendo of what she's saying. And she just looks up from the computer and like makes direct eye contact, like breaks that fourth wall. And, you know, I that's a favorite just because I fell in love with Plum, that character. And then I fell in love with the actress and I want her to be in everything I ever do ever.
I love that. Thank you, Marty, so much. Thank you for showing up and being so authentic and giving.
What pisses you off about this business?
The fact that you need to check in with people so much.
What do you mean? Wait, you cannot leave it there. What do you mean?
Everything. You got to bug people to see if they read the script, if they're going to buy it or not. You've got to check in on writers to make sure that they're not losing their mind over the outline that is killing them. Or you got to check in on a writer so that they know that you're the right producer for it instead of going into somebody else because you didn't check in enough. It's just like checking in all over the place, always, you know? Check in with my partner. Did you read that? I read it. I love it, but I need you to love it too. We can't get back to them until you've read it. Like, I'm checking in with everybody all the time. Constant.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay. You go ahead, Jeff. You ask the next one. Go ahead.
I'd love to ask you, Sheila, what gives you the most joy about this business?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is a room of mentors and teachers by 1,000. Like I became a far, far, far better producer working with the next generation by far. I did realize I did explain stuff. I had to explain it 15 different ways, not because they were dumb, because their brains just work differently. So the more I figured out how to connect with all these different types of artists only helped me go back to my office and do better at my job. So I love the mentoring part.
So good. Okay. Last one is, if you could be remembered for one scene in a movie that you helped create, which would it be?
We made a really sweet little Australian family movie that featured a grandma who had passed away. And there's a moment where the husband, who's the grandpa, and the granddaughter are sleeping out under the stars and they talk about seeing grandma up in the stars. And I love it still.
So tell us the name of the movie, because everybody, love this.
It's called Oddball, and you can find it on every streaming ever. And at one point, the grandpa character says, "I miss you madly."
So go watch Oddball. Aww. It's a really adorable, amazing film that Sheila made in Australia.
That we made breaking every rule of film school ever. You're never supposed to do. We shot it at night. During the wintertime, outdoors with multiple animal breeds and children.
Yay.
And it was still a hit.
Woo!
It was amazing.
Very sweet. Yeah.
Sheila, thank you so much for being here. And it's been an amazing, amazing time.
What pisses me off about writing? When you write an entire script and you know there's some foundational premise of it that's wrong, but you try to get away with it, and then you give it to your friend and they go, "Dude, there's a foundational thing wrong with this." And you go like, "Oh, just give it to me." You know, I've written so much in that kind of delusional state of, no, it's not a problem that I have a monstrous carbuncle in the middle of my forehead. That's fine. It's going to be fine. And then you're like, "Oh, the problem here is the character's got to have a monstrous carbuncle in the middle of my forehead. Okay, I guess I got to go burn it off and go through that pain." You know,
that's awesome.
And then the follow-up to that is, what brings you the most joy about writing?
All of it. I love writing. I don't have hobbies. I'm not a functioning person. You know, I don't have hobbies. I like going to the movies. I like watching television. And my hobby is writing long memoir essays. Everything that, you know, obviously my children and my wife are the most important thing in my life. But, you know, my relationship with my daughter is mediated, you know, by her love of the Avengers. You know, that's where we bond. I mean, it's like, so honestly, like, I love writing. I love sitting down at the keyboard and banging it out, even when it's really frustrating. It's just, it's what I do. And I'll do you know what acemic writing is?
I don't think I do, no.
It's a kind of art that's gotten a lot of traction recently, where you literally create letters and they don't mean anything, but you're organizing them like writing on the page. So you create, I love the work that a lot of people are doing. And I literally developed like an alien language, and I spent most of the time I doodle while I have this scorching case of attention deficit disorder. So like I need to doodle while I'm in a writer's room so that I can actually be present. And for most of the Dark Crystal, Blood and Treasure, and Cowboy Bebop, I must have drawn about 500 note cards of this alien language, okay? Because even while I'm in a room writing, the way that I love the scratch of ink on paper so much that I'm writing fake words in a fake language on a page.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
Don't be like me. Have relationships.
No, my God. And
smoke okay, drugs so- and have a real life, guys.
So our last question is, yeah. If you could be remembered for any scene, what would it be?
In the Middleman pilot, the premise of it is that super intelligent gorillas have escaped from a lab and have decided to earn their keep in the world by taking over the local mafia. And there's a scene where there is a silverback gorilla in a strip club. And he's running his mob empire. And I got to do that on television. Like a silverback gorilla in a tracksuit, a Tony Soprano tracksuit, right? In a Tony Soprano strip club, like running, like and running his mafia business before. You know, it's either that or it's in episode 7 of The Dark Crystal. We had to do an exposition dump where we had to explain the entire mythology of The Dark Crystal to the characters in the show. And it is the most bananas like I couldn't begin to explain it to you. It's like, you know, it's like there was this planet called Thra. There was a crystal in the middle of it. The crystal spawned this woman named Augura, who was sort of like a weird imp with a third eye. And the crystal was also her heart. And then the planet was invaded by another species called the Urskeks. And then the Urskeks took control of the crystal, and trying to purify themselves, they split into two beings.
While you remember it all.
it's insane. You can't explain it. Okay. So, and I had this idea to have the puppets do a puppet show explaining the mythology. And again, I am proud of this to the point of like being insufferable, but like they made it, they shot it. We got it past all the goalies and they made this thing. And I remember just going like, oh my God, like, look, I'm sure I've written, I don't know, but this is just like, I'm the guy who did the puppet show in the puppet show.
Oh my God. You're so delighted. I love it. You're so delighted. You're so delighted. Amazing.
Dark Crystal. So it was like going to work on that show was like eating candy every day. It was just the best thing ever. Look, this is what everybody listening to this podcast wants. This is when you're going to know it. You know, I went into a room and the Jim Henson archives had given us a framed picture of Jim Henson, Frank Oz, and Gary Kurtz. Gary Kurtz produced this little independent film called Star Wars, looking at a puppet. And it was just sort of a picture of the three of them at work, right? And I had seen that picture in Starlog magazine when I was 13 years old, okay? And I went to work at the Jim Henson Studios in a room that had that photo. And then when the making of book for The Dark Crystal came out, my daughter was really into she can't watch the show because it's nightmare fuel, but she's really into it. And she knows the names of all the mystics and the Skeksis and everything. And she reads the storybooks and all that. And I opened the making of the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance book to a page that has a photo of me on the set. And I realized, and she went, Daddy. I'm like, who's this? She's like, that's the collector. And I'm like, who's that? That's Jen. That's Rianne. That's blah, blah, blah. And then I opened the page and I'm like, who's that? And she goes, Daddy. And I'm like, I got to literally walk in the footsteps of these wizards that I worshiped when I was a kid. And my photo is in one of these making of books. And, you know, I mean, that's it. That's, you know, like you can be rich, you can be famous, you can be whatever, but it's like, this is the reason, you know, it's, I helped further Jim Henson's legacy. My God, you know,
amazing.
It was fantastic. So wonderful.
Yeah. Beautiful. You know? I mean, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much for being here.
All right. Thank you guys. And I hope I will at some point meet you both in person.
Yes. I hope
all three of you. So
check out Javi online. You can find him on Twitter under his handle Ready? @OKBJGM. Yes? Did I get that right? I'll say it again because everybody's listening and they're walking their dog and listening. @OKBJGM. He also has a link in his bio there to some incredibly helpful writing resources. Really, just Google him, guys. He writes amazing writing essays.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone.
Oh, and the other thing I want to say, I'm sorry. Also in that page, I have a page where I have PDFs of pretty much every pilot I've ever written, samples of lost scripts, feature scripts I've written that didn't sell, Bibles, pitches, like the entire history of my development, how I've developed and all of that. And I'm not putting it up there so that you can do it like me, you can do it any way you want, but it's just so that you can see how, I found out most people don't pitch until they pitch. So I'm trying to get resources out there. So if you need models for some of this stuff, I've put it out there.
Amazing resource. I'm going there as soon as we're done with this.
Michael, what is your favorite thing about writing?
It's, you know what? It's really just getting that first idea, right? There's an exhilaration to going. I feel like why do we write? It's because we're not seeing the movie that we want to see up on the screen, right? And I think that I've gotten to a point where I can diagnose myself when I have a good idea coming because I get super depressed, right? I'm just like, everything sucks. Every movie sucks. I suck. Like, everything sucks. But what your brain is doing is making you focus on the thing that's going to be the escape hatch to that kind of depression, right? And when you get your idea, you go, oh my God, it's going to be the greatest fucking thing in the world, right? And just those moments, right, of having, getting ideas or coming together, it's just exhilarating. I remember, and Meg, you've had this experience, and Lorian too, like sitting in those brain trust meetings at Pixar, it's just more fun, you know, than humans should be allowed to have, because you're just in a room with super fucking smart people and the ideas are just coming out so quickly. My joke is that you're in the presence of like this super intelligent story god, because like the organic intelligence in that room is smarter than any one person in the room. And you just feel like you're there with this story oracle that's like, you know, like everyone's voice is chipping in and half an idea becomes a full idea. But it's just so much fun. So to me, that's, you know, the best part is the doing when it's going well, right? It's the surfing when you catch the wave. That's the fun part. The flogging around in the surf and getting caught inside and getting buried by the white water is no fun, but you've got to do that to get to the point where you're, you know, gliding down a wave, a nice glassy wave.
I think that's
which
probably
is
a perfect
fun about the TV rooms, right? Yeah, is that it's that sort of in a mini way, you know, that it's all this energy and sort of unearthing things and shouting at ideas. And it's so fun and just feels like we're all so smart, you know, but we're more than we're the collection.
Yeah,
right. Totally. We're a collective, which is so exciting. So it's exhausting and exhilarating at the same time.
And it's fun. What's great in a room is that when you get the right idea, everyone knows it, right? Like you just feel it. I remember when on Toy Story 3, the idea of Spanish Buzz came up and the whole room just sort of erupted with like everyone, all the animators could see exactly where this was going. And so you go like, oh, that's it. Like Spanish Buzz. But those are great moments. Like there was nothing before and now there's something, right? And there's sort of this miracle of the creative process, you know? And so that's the thing that's really, you know, you took something where there was nothing, a blank page, and you created something. And then the other thing is just communicating something. I remember when I was writing Little Miss Sunshine, I was like, if I could communicate this feeling in any other way, I would do it in some other way, but I can't, because the only way that I can communicate these feelings and this idea is to write motherfucking Little Miss Sunshine. And to get that out and then to have people respond to it, that's very gratifying also. But to me, that's sort of secondary, just to the thrill of you know, going, oh, all the music's gonna come on and all is gonna start dancing, it's gonna be great.
All right, the second question. Jeff, do you wanna ask the second question?
Sure, I mean, you may have kind of answered it with the floundering around in the waves between waves when you're surfing, but what pisses you off about writing?
I'm going to go on a mini rant about page count, because I feel like the obsession with page, I feel like half my life as a screenwriter is fighting page count. And I think that it's an extremely imprecise measure of the length of a movie. And I feel like it's gone beyond being stupid. It's actually pernicious and destructive. So for example, Little Miss Sunshine, 118 page screenplay ended up being a 103 minute movie. Like if I had a bad producer, they'd be like, okay, you got 118 page screenplay. We want to get it down to 103 minutes. You need to cut 15 pages out of that
screenplay, which is just a naive reading of like the relationship between script time and screen time, right? An even more extreme example is Toy Story 3 is 130 pages screenplay, and it's a 93-minute movie, right? So thank God I had a bunch of producers and we were making a set of reels where no one's gonna come and go, 130 pages, you can't do this, right? Because, so the thing, I'm answering your question, the thing that drives me berserk with rage is getting told that pages equal minutes, you know, when I think it's very imprecise, and especially if you have a dialogue heavy script like His Girl Friday, for example, you're gonna end up with a 180 page screenplay for like a 100 minute movie. And then the other thing, the bigger sort of thing, the thing that's frustrating about screenwriting is that you feel like you performed a miracle. There was nothing there and now there's something, right? And you finish your first draft and the bottle is half full and you go, look, there was nothing and now there's something. Everyone goes, yeah, but you're still missing half. So then you fill the bottle up 90% and you go, look, I filled it up 90%. And everyone goes, yeah, but you're still missing that 10%. And then you fill it up 99.9%. It's like almost fucking full. There was nothing and now there's something. And you show it to people and all they're gonna say is, yeah, but you're still missing that little 0.1%. And so you just have to accept that. That's the way it is. That's the way people's brains work. But no one's going to pat you on the back and go, oh my God, it's a miracle. There was nothing before. Now there's something. They're just going to sit there and point out like what's not working in your story.
So true.
So true. And what you want to say, and I've just been getting notes lately, and I learned from Megan Lorien that every writer, the first thing they think is fuck you when you get notes,
totally.
Which was the greatest gift I got. But like, you just want to say like, well, then you fucking write it. You know, it's like you write this script. It's so hard. It is so hard. And they come to you and they start, it's like, well, then you write 120 pages of perfectly crafted dialogue and story. It's your turn. Go. That's what I want to say.
That's so funny.
But instead I say, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Our last question is what scene that you wrote would you love to be remembered for?
I think it's just the scene on the pier with between Dwayne and Frank and Little Miss Sunshine, because it's so personal to me. Like, I remember being in high school and thinking, I wish I could just go to sleep until I was 18, you know, and just skip all this crap, high school and everything. And I mean, that was really just came out of direct personal experience. And then the answer that Frank gives, right, which is, the best years of your life are sometimes the wasted years, right? And the years that you suffer are the years that make you into who you are. I feel like that's you know, it takes a while to figure that kind of thing out. So, and I think that Steve does such a great job with it. Paul does such a great job with it. The way John Abell staged it is really lovely, very simple. And so I think that, you know, and then it ends up with Paul Dano saying, fuck beauty contest, which is what that whole movie is about. So it would be that.
That's the right answer, by the way. I was so hoping you would say that. I did my best. I wrote Michael a somewhat unprofessional email before, and I was like, before we get on air, I just have to get it out now. Little Miss Sunshine's the best movie ever. It's the reason I'm a writer. And that scene makes me laugh and cry at the same time, which is the best way to feel stuff. And thank you for writing it. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
It's not surprising that it's the most personal to you. That's where your lava was and where you were being brave. That's what we talk about all the time. Michael, thank you so much for being here. We might have to have you back sometime because
I love it.
It was too fun and too good. And I'm sure we have more questions, but what a gift you are. Thank you so much.
Am I allowed to mention my website?
Yes, please do. Please.
I just have a website, which is www.pandemoniuminc.com, where I put a couple of videos about screenwriting. And
we will also put that on our Facebook page so everybody can link in.
And in the description of this episode too, if you just click down there.
People have told me that it's helpful. So there's one video that's me going on and on and on about how to write a good ending. There's me going on and on and on about writing Toy Story 3. And then there's a couple of smaller videos about screenwriting.
Sounds great.
And there's so many good things about writing Toy Story 3, but my personal favorite is the cartoon of you strangling Andrew Stanley.
Oh my God, that was gold.
It's a good example of like having sort of a wild idea that you think you're just going to throw away and go like, no, like that's the thing that people are going to respond to is like a little cartoon of me strangling Andrew, right? And so what seems to be a throwaway thing, right? Or it seems to be, it's not the most professional thing, but you go, that's the most human thing. That's the thing people are going to respond to. So that's the stuff that you got to keep in your writing.
Yeah. Well, totally. Thank you so much for your time and all your amazing brain exploding thoughts and for sharing with us.
You know what? Let me say, I feel like just you guys, thank you guys for doing just your podcast, right? Because it there's you guys focus on your frustrations in daily life, but also you really do talk about craft, you know, and it's just the thing that I feel like gets devalued or people just don't even talk about enough. And it got me thinking, it got me all inspired and excited and going back and looking at, you know, like looking at Close Encounters again, going back and looking at Robin Hood again. And I'll say, I'm like in such a good mood these days because looking at Amelie again, looking at these films, I was like, we live in an age of miracle and wonders. Like, I'm so glad I'm part of this profession or this tribe that's telling these stories. And like, we have this abundance of miracles around us in the forms of stories that I would never think of Tootsie. I would never think of Amelie. Like, I would never think of Close Encounters, but those things are so perfectly made and so beautifully done. And it just makes you go like, it's a privilege just to be like in the ballpark, you know, with those other movies and trying to do the same thing. So I feel like it's easy to get frustrated with your own writing, with everyone else's writing and just like, you know, curse the darkness instead of lighting a candle. But there are tons of candles out there already. Mm. And you just have to like, go look at them.
What brings you the most joy about writing?
You know, I really have so much joy in writing. I guess maybe first drafts where I'm just not even paying attention to what I'm doing really and just sort of listening and seeing what it is. But I've always been a person who enjoyed writing. I hear some people say like, I don't enjoy writing, but I like having written. Or I hear people say, I hate writing, but I'm a writer. But I really, really enjoy it. Sometimes I get really caught up. And especially now that I have a child, I wouldn't say it feels like a day at the spa, but it certainly feels like freedom to me to be writing.
Nice. That's great.
Jeff, do you want to ask the next one?
Sure. Vanessa, what pisses you off about writing?
You know, I mean, I don't know if pisses up. Yes, bad notes are horrible and they make you insane. But to me, it's more like when you have some plot problem that's just not even solvable and it's wrecking your whole thing. And now you got to try and pull the whole thing apart and it's just tiring. And I really don't like it when there's sometimes a process in Hollywood, I think, where nobody wants to tell a difficult person they're difficult or set a boundary. And so what ends up happening is the writer has to do this person's bidding and then someone else is going to come along and correct it. So what it just means is many iterations for you. You're being used to kind of placate someone, but it's exhausting in a way that I don't ever enjoy.
Mm, that's insightful. Last question is, what scene that you've written would you like to be remembered for?
Oh my goodness. You know, I don't know if I have a specific example. My first spec, or whatever, my spec that got made, Hope Springs, is just an almost complete representation of who I am. That question about are you the characters, are the characters you? As I said, in general, no. But in this movie, yes, I'm every character. I am in every scene. Like, it felt so true to me. And it also felt like it knew itself so well. I barely ever had to change anything in it. It just was like, here's the story. And the director at the time had asked me to add a bunch of things and I added them all and they all got cut. And later he was like, we didn't need those. And I was like, I know. Like, I had such a pride, not even so much like it got made or whatever, but you know, the distance between what you're imagining and what's on the page, there's always a distance. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, but you never manage to get every single thing right on the page that you imagined. And this was the closest I ever got.
Thanks for tuning in to The Screenwriting Life. We love our community and we want to get to know you even better. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/thescreenwritinglife or email us at thescreenwritinglife@gmail.com to have your question considered for the show. You can also suggest topics by emailing us there. Also, we'd love for you to drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. Even if we don't read your review on air, trust me, we have read it, and not only does it mean the world to us, but it helps other people find the show. We've always been driven by mission and mentorship, and reviewing our show helps expand that mission. And of course, until next Sunday, happy writing.